The clock, let's call to order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors.
Van insert.
This Wednesday, December 24th, Christmas Eve.
Tuesday.
For that.
What's that?
It's Tuesday.
What did I say, Tuesday? Wednesday? Oh, it says Wednesday on here. See how well I follow directions? I just read what you put in front of me. It's like a teleprompter, I just say it.
Use a teleprompter as an example.
Sorry, Tuesday, December 24th, Christmas Eve. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Next on the agenda is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes of the meeting held December 11th, 2013, approval of all claims through December 24th, 2013 in the amount of $659,811.22. Approve and place on file all correspondence received, and I want to talk about that a little bit. We'll come back to that. Approve utility relocation agreement with Norse Public Power District to relocate power poles in the service on Affiliate North, BRS 32855, bridge project. And that's it, item 1 through 5 through the consent agenda. I need a motion to approve, disapprove, or consider an item separately. I'm going to pull off 4.
Matt, I'll just make one quick comment there. If anybody looked at all the claims in there, I believe there was a claim, and it was to Minnelli, for a little over $100,000, and I don't remember the exact dollar amounts. And went down to visit with Deborah about that. Mark's claim in there was $1,000. The rest of that was for the TCW Construction Company, which is the company that did the Coke project out here. So when that claim came in, it was all in, bundled in one, and it got all coded when we did it to Mark Minnelli's. It's not to Mark Minnelli. Most of that is the final payment, except for about 1% that's being held back yet, right?
That is correct.
Yes. So that it went, if you happen to scroll down and look through all the claims, I just wanted to clarify that. So
I would make a motion to approve.
A motion by Kathy. I need a second.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. I do want to discuss this item number 4 here, just correspondence. I've shared this with Myron and Engage. Got this from the State of Nebraska Department of Agriculture. They're looking for a contact person related to livestock friendly, and our designation is a livestock friendly county, and they felt that an economic development group would be the best contact. Now, there's other suggestions in here, and I'll have Dawn, she can make copies of that, but I'll pass that around. Suggestions about having website access information from our planning and zoning administrator, kind of a one page, this is process to go through. And so I've shared that with them if they would want to be the contact, and it seemed to make sense. So I've shared it with them. I don't know if they reviewed that at the last meeting.
It was on the agenda, but I left early to come up here that day. But it was on the agenda, so I'm guessing they probably discussed it, but I don't know what came about.
So peripherally, they seem to be agreeable, but they haven't taken any real action. I just didn't want to say, hey, let's appoint them and them not know about it. So look at that. We don't have to do anything now. There's no timeline in there. It's just something they requested, but that came. I thought that was kind of important. We should spend a little time, maybe some thought about that. But that was a correspondence that I had. There's another piece of correspondence I had that had to do with the YMCA, and they've got a fitness challenge for any organization. We can open that up. I don't know all the specifics. I had the flyer, and I lost it. It's probably in the trunk of my car someplace. I lost it. But I just think that this time of year, as people are looking for New Year's resolutions and the preventative care that's in a lot of the Affordable Care Act language now, that maybe that's something we should encourage employees to look at. You know, it's a self-funded program, so we're basically, if you take the health insurance here, you're responsible for your own health care. And so it's a taxpayer. So it might be something we should encourage people to look at wellness programs. So Yes, sir.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Well, you're right next to Doug, and Doug was the next one down the list. it's something I think that, when you're a self-funded program, there should be some inherent desire to keep everybody's rates low. So there are programs out there. I'm just saying that I was contacted. You know, maybe that's something we should, at risk of marketing one particular firm, we should maybe get the different agencies in town that offer those programs, and of course it's just at will, but offer those to the employees maybe and encourage them to seek that out. So that's all I had for correspondence. Those are some of the things I'd received peripherally. Anything else? All right. No discussion. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Vote 7-0 to approve. Next, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. You're going to come up later? Very good. All right. We always like to come back to this. If somebody gets here a little bit late and they have something they want to say, we can bounce back. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights.
Well, we had our open house in the courthouse. Unfortunately, it was very poorly attended, and I think if we had 15 or 20 people, it was just amazing. But those that we had were relatives of a lot of our employees and our elected officials, and so we got to visit with them some. Appreciate everybody coming from the board, and our elected officials were wonderful being there and having all their offices open. And we visited just briefly that evening, and I think probably we'll come back maybe and propose to the board that we have another open house in the spring when it's opened up, when the weather's cleared up a little bit, and maybe we'll get a few more people out when we have better weather and they just feel more comfortable. And we had the warning on black ice that night, and so I'm sure a lot of people stayed home appropriately. But everything else is going real well. Dave was out there all bundled up working on the sidewalks this morning, and he just never quits. This guy is absolutely amazing, and I just couldn't say how much I appreciate him.
I'm just going to comment on the case that Davey's making out here, the old the cabinet that came out of the old clerk's office, the old treasurer's office, register of deeds. Davey, my understanding is, bought that with his own money, bought that off Craigslist, and he found that. There's been some rumor that there's been some county funds used to improve that or acquire that, and that's just not the case. I know there's, having spoken with Davey, there's been scraps that he's used around the courthouse, and he's really working to make that a showcase. So any speculation that other than using scrap county material on what's going to be a county piece of furniture or showcase, Dave purchased that with his own money. So that's
absolutely. And I told Dave if he is expending anything, I will pay him out of my own pocket to support rebuilding that. And so, but Dave is doing it. This is all on Dave.
And it is beautiful.
It will be really, really nice when it's all finished.
Must have been one of Sam's elves, the way he can put things together. He just has a magic about finishing things. They just look amazing. Equalization?
Nothing more.
Finance and insurance.
Finance and insurance, we talked about, and we're going to have it later, the salary, elected official salary. We talked about that, so we'll have that later. But Roger brought us a letter requesting some additional furniture, some 7 file cabinets, and he has a proposed cost here for Meeks of $3,519. They just have too many stuff in boxes and don't have room for it. And then also 4 new chairs in his office. He said he brought a chair with him from his attorney's office. Some of the others, too, they're pretty bad. Would like to buy those at a cost, 4 chairs at a cost not to exceed $500 per chair. And a proposal is to take this out of inheritance fund. When we did some of the other offices here, the assessors and the clerks and those, we kind of updated those here after all the rest of it's done. We did not do anything up there except a little bit we did with your entrance cabinet there. They worked a little bit on that counter or whatever, but otherwise we have not. So this committee did discuss that and agreed with that as long as it's okay with the board. Then
And
then the next page here, too, he had a proposal for a different copier. And he's got shows some of the calculations here, what they're paying now for a lease and what the paper's costing them. And the new copier, the lease payment will be $13 a month higher, but the paper savings, they will come out with a savings each month by the paper being cheaper to use in that they have to buy to use in that copier, because the other one's a pretty old copier. So committee agreed to that, too, to go ahead and get a different copier. And that, I think we talked about this one other time already, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. We were having some problems as far as maintenance guy was called fairly routinely, and I think that might be part of why the new bid is so low. They're getting tired of sending this guy out. But I actually operate to a savings of $75 a month overall, which I know that's hard to believe. But we're on the last year of the lease, so that sometimes happens. And it basically, we would have bought the same one we have, but it's been outdated, so this is the new model, even though it has no more whistles and bells. It's basically the same machine. So rather than wait until it completely breaks down, Eeks proposed this, and when it came in cheaper, I thought I would ask, because it goes beyond my current term. So I wanted to make sure you guys were on board.
So it ends in December is the plan year that it ends?
It actually ends in October.
October of 2014?
Yes, of next year.
Of next year. So we need it now? Can we budget for it next year? We just want to use inheritance for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big enough item. Most of my equipment stuff I have in the budget would be small items. I could put it in there. The problem is we're having difficulties with it right now. I brought it before the board now.
You're talking about the copier. He asked about the file cabinets and the chairs, because there will be it'd be a little over $5,000, $5,500 roughly.
Yeah.
For the seven file cabinets and the four chairs would be roughly $5,500.
I was just hoping to cash in on that $536,000 that came in on inheritance tax that I signed for.
Everybody that touches that wants a piece of that.
First request. And
Matt, we did.
I'm just talking.
No. Now, if you want me to do that, I could certainly do it that way.
When we updated the other offices, that did come out of inheritance that time, about $80,000 or whatever. So.
And you did negotiate the price on those chairs with Eeks, right?
Well, what I did was I put a cap on it, and I can tell you, we'll look around.
Okay.
I always like to do business within the county.
Right. Absolutely. And we have several other office equipment companies that don't have an office here but do business within Gage County also, and they have salespeople and they pay taxes here. So if we can negotiate this so we have an opportunity for everybody. I'm big on chairs and tables.
That's all I have till later.
Okay. We don't have an action item on that today.
No.
So just a discussion.
No, if we need to approve that, it'll have to be next meeting to approve that.
Okay.
For discussion.
Human resource, employee relations?
Nothing new. Still hammering things out on the handbook.
At the risk of opening a can of worms,
okay.
I'm not going to let you off that easy.
Okay, you never do.
Let's talk about the holidays. That was a discussion.
It is my understanding that they would prefer to, and Don, you can, because you met with them, why don't you?
Well, when the elected officials met, there was some discussion on as far as the Christmas Eve closing, and we suggested maybe foregoing one of the other holidays for the full day of Christmas Eve that was brought up. There was some concern of what the courts observed, and so it was decided just to leave it the way it is and then ask employees they'll need to take vacation time or time off without pay, and then we'll just close at noon. But that's how the other officials thought they'd rather handle it. So that's
rather than trading another holiday for Christmas Eve.
All right.
because of the courts recognizing some of the other dates. So that was one of the factors.
Okay. Because the courts, because they're off on some of those other days.
And they recognize that as a holiday, so that would create
because they're
an
not
issue
county mm-hmm. offices
for our building. So
gotcha.
I thought instead of making issues for other departments, we just go this route.
Anything else? What about the grievance process? There was some discussion about that. Grievance board.
That's kind of in your court on what you guys want to do. I know we have been suggested, Pam has suggested to myself and us that the reason that she feels strongly that you need the grievance board process is that they're able to grieve their concerns locally, and then there's a record of that. And then if it's taken further, you have that initial record. So.
And I think that, not put words in anybody else's mouth, but I think that the board feels pretty strongly about not having a grievance board. Right now it's set up that the board itself would be the final avenue. There really is a grievance board. It's just happens to be us instead of a combination of different people, elected officials and employees.
You may have two different systems, I guess. I don't.
Well, and I think that's basically, based on recent past history, that was a suggestion. Rather than having an intermediate board, if you will, because it's difficult to find people that will serve on that. And
and I think that was the advice of Pigsley, who was our attorney in a different matter, and now we're getting advice from Pam Bourne, who is NIRMA's attorney. And so I guess we have two different legal opinions, and we just have to decide which one we feel is the best.
And I think it's important. There needs to be a way an employee has the ability to grieve. I don't think we have any desire to prohibit an employee from grieving. I just know and maybe it's the structure of the grievance board and how that's put together if we decide to resurrect that. But in a scenario of the previous context, the way it was, if for instance, hypothetically, Dawn had a situation with an employee in her office that she wanted to discharge, that person could appeal that to the grievance board, and the employee who was discharged, his or her fellow employees could reinstate her and override her decision to discharge the employee from her office. That was the structure of how that was set up across the board for all, except for the sheriff, because there's an FOP agreement there. But so that's where the structure of that basically made the elected official who was doing the hiring neutered, if you will, from any type of disciplinary action, because it could all be overridden by the fellow employees. So maybe the structure wasn't necessarily the best, but maybe we need to go back and look at that. Because, again, I think it's important to have a grieving process for the employees. As we have our employees here, I think it's important that you have that and that they need to have the ability to say, I don't think this was done right. But we need to probably structure that better, my opinion. Yes, sir.
Not change the subject there, but what was the decision ever as far as a second job? I know there was some language in there where any county employee could not hold a second job. What was the final on that?
It did not say that any county employee, and I've got a stack of revisions of handbooks, and I didn't bring them with me today. But it didn't say they could not hold a second job. Right. It just said that it had to be approved by their foreman.
Oh.
And I guess personally, again, I feel like that is a good thing, because if there would be a conflict of interest or anything like that, I think that at least your supervisor needs to know about it and be able to, handle the situation.
No, go ahead.
I just wonder if there isn't a way that we could rather than say approved by your supervisor, maybe have it say in there that make your supervisor aware, maybe not so much approved, because I could see personalities being an issue there. Well, just because your supervisor doesn't care for you, or you know, they might not approve of it, well, then so you can't take the second job because your supervisor won't approve it, even if there is no conflict of interest. I guess I have some concerns with that, and I just wonder if we couldn't just have it say that you got to make the county aware of it.
Okay. I'll agree with that.
I would say hopefully we got better supervisors than that throughout the county. And secondly, you know, if they just have to be aware of it, why then anything goes, and even something that's not appropriate goes. And, you know, the supervisor doesn't have a mechanism to disapprove it. And unless you want the supervisor to bring it to somebody else, you know, if one of them should be turned down.
I think the wording is department head or elected official. It's not just your immediate, you know, like if you have a foreman in the highway department, whatever. It's not that level. It's the department head or elected official that...
I believe that's right. So, like in the highway department, they wouldn't go to their immediate supervisor.
They would go to Galen.
They would go to Galen, and Galen would have to be aware of it. And, you know, in his department, for an example, if I'm working nights, but then something happens and Galen needs to call me out, and I was like, oh, but I'm whatever you might be doing, you know, that's why Galen would have to be aware of it and make sure that it allows him to do his duties with his main job rather than, you know, I can't fulfill my duties of being on call or whatever. Or if, you know, somebody is in one of the offices here and is doing something that may be deemed inappropriate for their job classification. And, you know, I guess personally I feel like it is a valid thing to have in there. But whatever the rest of you.
The only thing I'll say about that, most people do have more than one job nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it. So, to me, a good employee is going to work. Is going to do other things than just that job. That's all I'm going to say. A poor employee might want to just set that job and go home and watch TV.
Right. So. And, you know, again, personally, I don't have any problems. I encourage our employees to go, you know, go to Casey's or whatever, go to McDonald's, you know, work after you get off work. But they have to be able to come in bright and early for their work with us. There can't be a conflict of interest as far as, you know, working for us and then working for a competitor or something, if that would ever be a problem. But I think that, you know, I can't imagine any of the elected officials or any department head saying, well, you can't have this other job, but just making sure that it didn't conflict or was inappropriate.
I think some of it, too, is even like with Gus's line of work, you know, he has some guidelines. You can't serve alcohol or whatever if you're wearing, you know, uniform type thing, I think. So some of that comes into play, those type of things. And maybe, Roger, you know, with the line of, you know, things that you do in your office may conflict with where someone is second employment might be. So, you know, there are some reasons.
I can't be a jailer by day and a stripper by night.
Yep.
That would be inappropriate. But it would be really inappropriate for me.
Looking at me, I'm thinking, well, I'll go for the jailer. You can be the...
No, that's a bad visualization.
Yeah. Would you like to come talk? Thank you.
Jeez, speed will come to mind in a second. Oh, wow. I'll mention this to you. I have been in the process right now of working with NRMA on this issue. A lot of my deputies work a lot of security jobs. And I do, like Don said, have quite a few policy procedures on kind of dictating what they do and how they do it. But one thing came to mind was in just the last few months, I'm trying to figure out how to deal with the jobs they have with work comp and liability insurance. And I think that applies to anybody in the courthouse who works someplace. I asked for NERMA's opinion, and they come back to me and said it'd be a case by case. If you had some employee you wanted to find out about where they're working at, talk to them about it. I had a Supreme Court ruling from Nebraska I'd given to them that a security company had given me, because some of my guys worked for them, talking about how law enforcement were never off duty. I have some guys who work at the hospital on their off time. Technically, they're never off the clock. And they're being paid by the company to protect the hospital. It still comes back to the county. And so that's why I was trying to get some feelers out there for NERMA, how they look at that, and they didn't really give me more than just case-by-case basis. So that's something also, I think, when you have to be working part-time, you have to keep that certainly in mind, because if they get injured doing that job, it falls back on they might not be able to come back and do a full-time job. So it's tough. I know the guys are real antsy right now with me if I'm going to do something, because that does offset their ability to pay things, but it is something to consider. So I put that out there for food for thought.
I think it's good we have the discussion. The last time the handbook was approved was in 2009, so this is basically the agreement that in the working relationship that's defined on how the employees work with and for the county. So it's good to shake this stuff out. Yes, Gary.
I guess the last thing I'd say on it is that I don't disagree with John. I don't think that we would have anybody that's going to deny somebody the ability just on a personality conflict type thing. But I guess I don't like the idea of Big Brother standing over top of you and saying, no, yes, you can, no, you can't type of thing. I guess that's my feeling on it. And quite frankly, we got supervisors that, you know, if there's somebody that's not coming in when they're called, when they're supposed to, our supervisors and our superintendent should be writing them up. And that should take care of itself. That shouldn't have to be another regulation in the handbook. We should take care of those things properly anyway. You know, if another job is creating issues with them doing their first job when they know they got duties to do, then we got supervisors that should take care of that.
This also is not something that we've come up with. This was the recommendations that NERMA puts out for their personnel system. So that was already in there as a format to follow.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, again, I don't have all of my copies, but is it in the old handbook?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this
it's
isn't
not
something
new.
Just because we always did it doesn't mean we need to do it now.
No, I agree with that. And there's some things that are being changed or coming out. But I guess it gives the supervisor or the elected official, you know, something to say, I heard you were working such and such a place, and you have not notified me. You need to fill this out so I have notifications, so I know what you're doing and where you are. I guess I personally feel it's a valid thing to have in there.
Well, and NERMA makes those recommendations based on legal action that has taken place, and because of suits that are filed against counties, they say we need to have this language so that you have yourself covered and protected. So let's be very careful about changing any of that language because it generally is most appropriate.
Well, I think a lot of what you're saying is applicable. You have provisions, like Gary said and John, that will cover a lot of the issues as they come up. As funny as your example was, I think that's exactly what this is going to. The proposed second job I have may be morally questionable and reflect badly upon a county employee if they do that. And the supervisor can then sit down and talk with them about that. But if you don't have an opportunity to talk about it, then you get into it's none of your dang business what I do after 5 o'clock.
Right.
I think you're all basically saying the same thing. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if we even have a strip club anymore, but
I don't know either.
Re-enterprise. It could happen. So. But, I mean, that would be an example. Like Gus says, you can't have a dealer over there trying to, you know, control the population, and he or she is.
We're not telling them, you know, you can or can't do this, but it might be a matter of you need to choose which one you're going to do.
And then there's both, you know, something that might be morally inappropriate for a county employee to do, but also for each office. I mean, probably Rogers wouldn't want his staff working for another attorney that puts him in conflict with,
well, absolutely.
You know, And but probably most other jobs, unless they were dealing with that moral issue, would be fine for your employees to have on a second basis. And the other offices would have, you know, some of that come up too. So I think the supervisor needs to know. I mean, at least they should know.
It's a big project. Again, appreciate it.
Right after the first of the year, we're going to meet again on this for our committee, and we need to get this wrapped up. It's been going on a long time. So, when do your elected officials meet again?
Whenever we can get everybody together. Well, the last meeting was to discuss the changes that you guys had proposed, and so.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
Emergency management side, Mark is here. He'll talk about communications here when we get to that discussion item. And then I'm going to defer to Gus on, we had several good meeting topics on in our committee meeting. I'm just going to defer to Gus to cover a couple of those, specifically the AED's grant that we got through the BCH Foundation and a van cell. Gus had some complications with the transport that he made here recently, and I guess he's kind of thinking that he would like to go to a full-size van with a van cell insert. And I think I'd like to have Gus go ahead and kind of cover that a little more, but also touch on that AED grant also.
Okay, thanks. AED grant, I had applied for one more from the Atrus Hospital Foundation. I need one more, so when I'm full staffed on the road at nights, at least I have one for each vehicle. And so the Foundation Board graciously approved that. And so that's been placed on order, and when I get that, we'll do a little thing in the paper or something for the media for the hospital, because that was greatly appreciated. It's about $1,300. It comes out of my budget, but then it gets reimbursed back to the county. So we got that taken care of. As Gary said, the van cell is something I talked to their agency here in the area that went to that here a few years back. We've historically had minivans for transports. I guess years back that wasn't such a bad idea. Now, with hauling more than one, sometimes up to five and six, with two of my staff, and if we have inmates that are not small in stature, it makes it very difficult to transport. I do all the transports out of state, would be our extraditions. I had one a couple weeks ago that brought to mind, I want to look at this again. I got an hour down the road, and she informed me, of course, it was a taller inmate. She'd had some major surgery. They hadn't given her breakfast in the morning, didn't get the pills to her, so I could have that at least for the trip home. It was about a 10-hour trip. And she got sick on me, had to stop. She had to vomit once or twice. I wasn't feeling well, and I couldn't get her laid down anywhere in the van because it was just too small. And so I budgeted already in the budget this year, $20,000 I think it was, hoping to find a good used van. I think I still can find a full-size one for that money, used one anyway, with a few miles on it. But the insert fits into any of the full-size vans, Chevy, Dodge, or Ford. It's just basically a cell with top and two sides. The floor is the floor of the van. It just inserts in there and bolts down. It has two benches in the back, and then it has two segregation cells in the very front. You can separate three different types of entities within that cell. Then the monitoring system, you can see from the front of the van what's going on back there. I think it would probably behoove us to look this way. That's what I'm looking at this direction anyway, is because we're going to have more and more transports. The drug court, we're having some come back quite often from that. The inmates are different types of inmates anymore. They're a lot more violent type inmates. I've got about, I think, three or four extraditions we're working on right now between Roger's office and mine and out of state. They come in peaks and valleys, you know, as far as how busy you are on them, but it's still something I can use even for local transports. I don't know if I get necessarily this budget. We have to see how the budget turns out. It could very well come off the next year's budget. But you all should have a packet that I gave to my committee earlier this week showing what it looks like. They run, was it about 10,000, I think, or 8,000?
A little less, yeah.
Some in that area. And I talked to a company that's been making them for 14 years, and they've never had a van made that has not fit in yet. Even though the van style changes, the insert will still work inside there. And so what they recommend, you take your seats out of the van when you get it, take the carpet out, you rhino-guard the floor, so if you have urination, defecation, vomit, you just park it on a ramp and hose it off and comes right out, and you keep on trucking. So I wanted the committee to be aware of that. It was an expense that I hadn't really planned on, but now looking forward, I think it's probably going to be something we might want to consider strongly. If nothing else, for liability factor and safety factor for everybody concerned, so...
I guess personally, I think everybody's had the opportunity to see what it looking at it, I think it probably is something that might be wise to have, that kind of you have the opportunity of segregating your prisoners that you're hauling, and I think safety-wise, it's something that possibly we could keep them more in a safe environment also by being able to use something like this. I think it might be worth purchasing, too. So, but it's something we need to look into.
Yes, while you're here, maybe the e-cigarettes, we talked about that too a long time ago. We can do that later.
Two more items. The next item was the Lancaster County Youth Detention Center. We had a $26,000 expense that came through, and I don't remember the specifics on it, but I think it was one individual that ran up.
We got that bill before Roger called me, and I think it might have been on the same individual I have right now. Rule of thumb is usually you don't hold juveniles in the county jails. You just don't do it. After talking to Roger, I'm kind of reversing that because the expense is so great. If they meet a criteria, they're 16 years of age or older, it's a felony, and Roger's filed on adult docket, I can legally hold him by state of Nebraska standards. So we have one I've held doing that right now. And I think I can do a sight sound separation up to two, and so I'm going to try to do that as much as work with Roger if he's got something like that, because that is a hit you never plan on budgeting for, and that's the second one. The first one was like $33,000, this one's $26,000, and so I want to try to stop the bleeding as much as we can, and so I'm going to try to do that, and we can get by with those. Now, that won't take away the ones that don't meet that criteria. I'm still going to have to pay, but at least we can save some there from time to time when we get the ones that are not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So,
and just to be clear, not just talking about saving money here. When you do something like that, they're in a safe environment. It's not like
absolutely.
It's not like we're throwing them in with general population,
no.
And these kids are taking advantage.
Now, I could put in general population. I do not do that. I will keep them separate. They get the same medical and everything that standards provides. They get as well. So, yeah. Absolutely. Matter of fact, probably looked at a little bit better just because they're juveniles. Absolutely.
Yeah. I would just note too. These are the extreme cases. I mean, these are individuals who have been to Kearney or Geneva multiple times, and in my estimation, along with talking with law enforcement, they pose a hazard to the general public. And that's the only time, you know, like the one individual that we had a $33,000 bill on, he'd stole multiple cars, several burglaries in the countryside, as well as some problems here in town. We really don't have a choice. We can't let him go back home because... Even though it saves the county some money, he's going to be back out doing, posing a danger to the community and the county. So our hands are tied until we can get something else done, worked out with the state. And I think there may be some things coming down the pike, too, on that with LB 561. Yeah, we'll be revisiting that here next couple of years.
Yeah. So just
and,
one.
And he was, the one we have right now was getting a little... depressed, anxiety because he's by himself in the cell. So we allowed Earl to come in and talk to him a while, just other than a visitation time, just to kind of help calm things. And so helped out a little bit, I think. Okay.
That brings us to the last item. I know we've seen an article already in the paper about the e-cigarette. And I guess as a committee, there was some give and take as to whether or not we really liked it. And I think when we left... The final decision or the final idea, we don't make decisions in committee meetings. So, but the kind of the thought was is that, you know, we'll leave it to Gus to make the best decision. It is his jail that he's taking care of there, and it's his office. So, kind of left it for him to make the best decision. If you guys have read through the material, there's some concern out there that maybe the e-cigarette isn't the healthiest thing in the world. It does have a chance of having some carcinogens in it and some different things like that. It's better than a cigarette, but maybe not totally healthy either. So I guess it was kind of left in Gus's ballpark there. So,
well, I would think it shouldn't be totally in Gus's ballpark. We as a county regulate smoking in all of our properties. This is our property. It's not Gus's property. And somebody who's an advocate for public health in every way and the American Cancer Society and being a survivor myself, I think having an e-cigarette and having any kind of tobacco and nicotine influence within that jail is a horrible, terrible thing to do. And we talk about money. That's all we're talking about here is what it'll generate for the commissary. It's not good for anybody's health, the smoker. It's not good for the people that are around. It's not good for our property. And it's the wrong thing to do for Gage County to say that this is appropriate. So I will tell you I'm totally and absolutely against it in every single way.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, Denny, but there's more than just that. It's also the withdrawals when they come in, whether it be alcohol, drugs, cigarettes. It's something to help calm them, to help it with the staff. It's not necessarily beneficial to them. I have personal feelings about it as well.
So we say give them a few of their drugs too. Just cut it down a little bit so they can withdraw better.
We do. We do have drugs we give, but it's hard to explain it to you. We don't work in that environment. It's just, I didn't realize it was such a hot topic. Even the Wall Street Journal called and they're doing a story on it. And this is nothing new. Jails across the state and the country are doing e-cigarettes. As a good official, I was trying to talk to my committee about it, and it's really kind of blown out of proportion, I think, myself. But given that, I did want to bring that to them and let them discuss it. And if the board wants to discuss it and give me your opinions, that's fine. And the reason I even brought it up is, I found out from Don, I didn't realize we're going to include that in the handbook. It just went right over me. And so I got thinking, well, there's other areas in there that I have indicated will be exempt from, so I wanted to have that discussion anyway to see if we want to do that as well. So
I would just like to say the people that are incarcerated at the jail do not fall under the employee handbook. They are in jail, and I know this probably makes it easier for your jailers, but we are not there in the business to make things more comfortable for the people that are in jail. And I think this is one of, I knew a person who was in jail serving out his 90 days a couple years ago when they were doing the courthouse remodel. And he said, oh, it wasn't all that bad. You know, I got, had a place to sleep. I had my meals. I got to go over to the courthouse and work during the day. The only bad thing about it was I couldn't smoke. So if that's his only punishment is not being able to smoke, then they shouldn't be able to smoke. I don't think that it's not proven to be a healthy thing. You are releasing nicotine fumes into the air. And if you're somebody who formerly smoked and now you're standing next to somebody, unless they're isolated when they do this, you may be giving nicotine to other people around you. And I am strongly opposed to it. And I just, if the only reason, well, one of the main reasons we're doing this is because we're making money on it, I think that we're not making enough money to be worth the hazards and everything associated with the e-cigarettes.
Well, the other problem we have, this is so relatively new, there's not, everybody's got the research on it. Like John said, it hasn't been controlled yet. FDA hasn't controlled it yet, so that makes a big difference. NIRMA has no opinion on it. And the American Correctional Health that we use, the association there in the jail, John talked to the person who provides services here locally to us. I talked to the nurses in charge of all the jails in the states. And so far, they aren't too concerned because one isn't regulated and have anything on it, and it's water vapor. So, I mean, it's
not all water vapor, though.
Well, this is what she tells me. There's a lot. There's always two sides of everything. But we didn't jump into it, you know, and we've only been doing it for probably 4 weeks anyway. That's about just this month actually started.
If we don't allow our employees to use them on our property, and we don't allow the public to use them on our property, why are we allowing the prisoners to use them on our property?
Well, that's a two different classifications. Plus, inmates or employees are still allowed to go off the property. They can have, I got employees that have patch and a gum that have nicotine on the grounds. So where do you draw a line on it? I mean, we've opened this door and floodgates. Now what are we going to do?
Well, I'd say shut the door.
We haven't opened. We've closed the floodgates.
Right.
And now you're opening them.
Well, obviously so. I should have kept things to myself, I guess. But anyway.
Matt. One thing I will disagree, Kathy, that's not like a walk in the park over there. You can walk through it, but if you had to stay there, it's not the Hilton Hotel. I'll guarantee you that. I went through it.
I worked there one night.
Well, I went through it. Anyway, I guess I'm just going to flat say I don't see a problem with the cigarettes being there. I understand most of these people that are there probably do or have smoked or something. It and what it'd be like to control them, this would ease things, I think, a little bit. I don't have a problem with it personally.
I guess my question is, we've only been using it for 4 weeks, so we were getting by before then.
Certainly. But I came about, as I told the committee, when we were looking at Washington County, Kansas contract down there. I was looking through the procedures, and they had Easter eggs listed on commissary, and I got talking to him. He said, yeah, they've been doing that quite some time. They had no problems, and they were making some pretty good money to put back in the county. So then we started researching it, and we bought a few to sample to try it. And about that time, then I see in here we're putting that in the employee handbook. So I wanted to kind of make sure everybody's on the same page with it. So that's why it's being discussed and over. And so I guess I'm just trying to get an opinion from the board as a whole, you know, is what people think. You know, so.
I guess one other thing to consider is, you know, there probably isn't any jail that can keep 100% of the contraband out of jail.
No.
That's a given fact. And, you know, Tobacco Free Nebraska says people will add things to these. So, you know, if they slip them in there, they're using something far different than nicotine, you know, and it appears like they're using their e-cigarette. And I have real concerns about ex-smokers being next to somebody, you know, that... I mean, that urge to smoke, from what people tell me, does not go away. I mean,
you're right.
People give you their quit date of 30 years ago to the day, and they said if they pick up a cigarette, they probably smoke it. And I don't think it's at all fair to an ex-smoker to ask them.
Anything else? Okay, thank you.
All right.
That's all I had for law enforcement.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yes, would you like to comment on the e-cigarettes? Name and address for the record, sir.
My name is Dwayne Party. I'm from Pickle, Nebraska, 9876 East Dogwood Road. And this isn't the reason why I came here, but I did want to comment on it.
Absolutely.
If it makes it safer for the deputies to handle them, I'd say go ahead. Is it healthy? Why not? Most of the people you arrest aren't living the most healthy lifestyle anyhow. I've had a heart attack. I eat bacon yet. Probably shouldn't because it's not healthy. But if it makes it easier to handle for the deputies, I'd see no problem with it. Healthy? No, probably not. But I've used them, and it does alleviate the desire for cigarettes. You can use them in bars. They're not classified as cigarettes. They're an aid. It's a way to get nicotine. Would you allow a guy to use patches? Nicotine patch. That's all I have. But this isn't the reason I'm here. I got something else. Thank you.
Come back. Absolutely. Yep. Odin Bridge.
Okay. Of course, we had discussion on South 66 Road. We'll talk about that later on in the meeting. Bridge crew has been working on updating the bathroom at the shop. I don't know if it's done yet, but they're working at it. Will be shortly, I'd suggest. Wymore Bridge should have been done, but isn't. That's all I'm going to say about that. Possibility of it being opened up here shortly. We'll find out.
Can we have? I mean, you can say more on that. Can we have that a little bit of that discussion about what the plan is about the recommendation from Mark Minnelli? Because there is a process.
Well, I think the discussion was this morning. Jeff from Minnelli Wagner is going to be here and give us an update on that. They have to go through the state to okay certain things and get it all done. And exactly where we're at, I don't think we know if we got the final okay, or does anybody know any more than I know now? Okay. anyway, we're trying hard to get that thing opened up.
Right on cue. Look at that.
All right.
Gosh. Is that what we pay them for, to be like?
Yep. We were just discussing the Wymore Bridge. Any new updates on that that you know of as far as opening it up, when it can be done?
No, I don't know if Mark has talked with we were talking about doing the winter work spec on it just to get it opened up. I don't know if he's gotten the final answer.
Okay. We're beginning to, or Gail and Deb are going to beginning to discussion on the 1 and 6 year plan. So if there's any township officials out there that know of a major problem they have out there, now's the time to address Galen about that. So that'll be coming up here. I think that 1 and 6 has to be done
end of February.
So now's the time to start working on that. Mark Manilli was there at our meeting. Basically was talking about improvements going forward with the Hickory Road. The discussion was with Norris, how we're coming along with that, what kind of the plan would be to make improvements on that road. So it's our next goal, shall we say, to get started anyway. Culverts are in. Talked about overlays. Basically, that's about it, unless Myron or John, everything else.
No, I had the clerk's office make a copy of this, and I forgot to bring this along last week. With our bond, this explains our bond that we had approved, that the voters approved, and it gives the dollar amount. The bond was $5,640,000, less the underwriter's cost, which was emeritus, $45,120. And less the professional services, which was the lawyers, of $8,460, so that the county got $5,586,420. Our bid amount for the 29.5 miles of overlay project was $4,014,437. If we go with the concrete price on South 66, which is higher than the asphalt, that's $910,477. Or a total of $4,924,914, which I brought up, then it leaves an amount not used of $661,000, just a little over that, out of that bond. So last week, I called Mark Mumford, who was emeritus, and asked him the question, what can you use those funds for? He visited with the legal counsel that wrote this bond proposal, and they said their comment was, the attorneys wrote that you can use that money on any road project in the county. You cannot, for example, they'll use it for interest. You can't pay interest on the bond. On the back of this sheet was some of the options that we just talked about a little bit up here at Road and Bridge, culverts on the Wymore Liberty, shoulder work, change orders. We haven't been drawing the original bond. There was not anything in there for the engineering's cost for that. And we haven't been drawing any of those out of there, but maybe going forward we could. Other road projects in the county, and Mark also visited with me a little bit about how you could use some of those funds to pay some of these bonds off earlier, pay part of that total bond amount back. The committee, going forward, we will start to visit and start to prioritize those. And I will just say this, when we had the first day we had our bidding process, and the very first bid came in at a little bit over $5 million for that one road project, John and I here, we kind of looked at each other and said, what are we going to do for South 66? There may not be enough money. Well, this here, even Mark Manelli said, Mark Mumford said, this is a very good issue to have, that you have that excess money in there, so you do have options. And going forward as a committee, we'll keep taking input and trying to decide the excess funds there, or the unused funds, not excess, the unused funds, how to allocate those. So
it's Gary. Are we done with Road and Bridge?
Yep.
Okay. Going back to law enforcement, I did miss one item. One other thing we'd been talking about for the last month or two has been the jail
contracts that we're trying to get set up with a couple of different counties, one in Kansas and two here in the state of Nebraska. And I know we were waiting on a written decision from the county attorney's office. I didn't know if Roger had gotten that done or if we were still...
I talked to Gus, and basically going out of state, we're just going to tell you there are issues that we'll not be able to resolve through a contract. And we've identified those with Gus. And again, basically it's up to this board whether you want to make that a policy, that policy decision, and go ahead. Things like due process issues. What if you're faced with an inmate that basically says, I'm not going? In the jail standards differential between the two states. Those are just three off the top of my head. We can't resolve those with a either a memorandum of understanding contractually or and we wish we could, and that's basically what we've been trying to do. And quite frankly, this we're wasting a lot of time on that. Now, the one with Saline County, Gus has been working with that. He's identified one area that, and I don't know if that got resolved, but it's basically he's protecting the county so that we don't have a situation where on a moment's notice, Gus is left with a bunch of people he's got to find a place for. So I think once that's resolved, that contract will be ready to be approved.
Okay. And then the third one, have we instructed them to get the third one coming to us? Or?
We sent the third one yesterday from Dawson County.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. I'd like to have that to the, in front of this board as soon as possible so that we get Gus moving forward on it.
The committee reports? No?
Okay. Oh, I'll just make a quick engage. We had the meeting the other Thursday night, and we did it. The reason I'm bringing it up, some of the avenues that we were going to advertise in for new executive director hadn't been done yet, and Bob Morgan is one of our board members from the college out here, gave a little explanation to us how the college normally does it, and we decided to change that. I know originally I said it was January 6th. Now we are leaving the applications. This is the way it's worded, leaving the applications process open indefinitely, but we're giving preference to anybody that applies before January 15th. And Bob explained how that's benefited them out there at the college. That way, if you don't end up feeling you have a good enough application by January 15th, you can still leave that process open. You don't have to go start all over again and stuff. So, and that was just wanted to update everybody on that, what that process is going through. Sorry.
Well, then maybe just a little bit more on Engage. As far as communication goes, as certain projects come to the county and the city, it's at times difficult to keep everybody on the same page and to share all the information that's out there in a timely manner. And I had a visit with some in place of Myron folks from the city and Engage and worked on improving the communication structure to make sure that everybody has information in a timely manner. And so what I would do is I would encourage anyone here that feels if they're a little bit out of the loop, certainly ask those questions sooner than later. It was a good discussion. I think that there were probably some pitfalls on all sides that hopefully are now resolved, and so we'll continue to move forward. But communication is always that thing you fall back on, and just, you know, we as human beings, we just sometimes just don't do a very good job. So I think there's a concerted effort between all three parties to continue to move forward and work on communication and when prospects come to town so everyone has the same information in a timely manner. So just know those conversations are being had.
I think our new chamber director is a real good communicator, too. She works really hard to have discussions individually and just is working real hard to make sure people are all on the same page and transparent, being very transparent.
Any more communication regarding anything? All right. Discussion, county communications. Speaking of communications... March.
Well, we're still working on the communications in the county. We will be on Thursday at 10 o'clock. The state's coming down. I believe a few of you had the opportunity to talk with the statewide radio system people at the NACO conference. So I appreciate you taking the time to visit with them. They'll be down 10 o'clock on Thursday morning. We're going to do a drive through the whole county and do some testing with the state radio system. We did some preliminary testing with our using our some of the temporary equipment we had set up, and it appeared to be working very well with the digital communications part of it. So we're going to move forward with that testing part of it.
One of the, and I don't, you weren't there at the committee meeting, but I brought it up about, I had a conversation with the mayor briefly about the additional sales tax that the half cent they're looking at passing. And through the legislation, they have to partner through an interlocal agreement with another public body, and he asked me if we would be interested, and it's an opportunity to share those funds, if you will, for different projects. And he actually brought up, well, if it's a road issue that's close to town or communications, and the first thing I thought of was, well, we've seen the price tag of what's being proposed here. So there's an opportunity. I don't have any specifics. I've asked the mayor that if it's something the city is interested in approaching us with on a formal basis, that we would need that information. But there's an opportunity there to use some of that additional sales tax that's collected in Beatrice, which we all know people in the county. Well, we spend a lot of money here, even if you don't live in the city limits, even if you don't get to vote on those taxes, we're still paying them. And so I thought that's an opportunity. You may talk to Bruce Lang or give the mayor or Tobias a call. It's peripheral at best. I do not have any specifics, but it sounds like there's an opportunity there to again, work with the city and probably recover some funding for communications.
Some of the stuff we've talked about with when I met with the statewide, with Mike Jeffries, with the statewide radio system, we'd be able to still keep instead of one of the proposals we had last time was to have to replace the radios in the cars with newer radios. One of the things with the statewide radio system, we'd be able to keep that radio to continue to communicate with the fire departments and such, just adding an additional additional radio instead of two. So there's a pretty good cost savings looking at that, you know, that part of it already. So it'll be interesting how it comes out with the testing part of it. They do not have they're putting up a tower at Cheney, which is near the Gage Lancaster County line. That's not up and operable yet, but they're looking to do that one yet too. But we're going to test the towers that they currently have, which is the Sterling Tower and the tower that's on 136 at the county line. So. And it'll be portable coverage is what we're testing. We'll take the state truck. It'll have mobile radio in there, too. We'll be able to do that. But the main thing we're concentrating, what I want to see, is the portable coverage that it has without having to use vehicle repeaters. So that's where we're at right now. So we'll continue to do the testing and look at the different products and such.
Bill said it'd be nice to use an AM channel. I'd get you all the way on the north side of Lincoln.
There is a. We did look at some of the new tower. The new tower down by Big Indian Lake, that was approved by the board a few weeks or months ago or whatever. It's up. It's not running yet, but it's up. So that's a tower. There's an opportunity for that tower, and we have space on that tower. And then the one north of Virginia there, I don't believe is up yet. There's always the co-op tower there, that just north of Virginia too. So we have quite a few options that we're still looking at. So the nice thing about working with the state is they have that at their fingertips. They can pull up every tower, every license, everything they do. It just comes on the computer. It's a little bit nicer than driving out and GPS and everything. So it's been a good relationship working with them. They've been real easy to work with. So we'll keep plugging along.
All right. Takes a lot of your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah. It does. So I'm going to switch my vacation day too for Friday instead of Thursday, so we can get this done. So, by the way,
I was kind of glad they had a booth there. They took a lot of time to answer a lot of probably dumb questions from us, but they're
willing to come down too. She, Pam Kemper, and actually Pam's worked. I've worked with Pam for several years. She worked for the phone company for Altel, Windstream, whatever. Back then, she was our 911 coordinator for years, and so I've worked with her for quite some time. So she's willing to come down and talk to the board or the committee or whatever. We just need to let her know they'd be willing to come down. They want to come down, matter of fact. So we can get through the testing, see how it goes, and then we need to probably make that. I would like that to make our next point is to have them come down and meet at least with the committee. So.
You want to just put them on the agenda in 2 weeks? Let's just do it then. We'll put them, see what works for them, and we'll just keep moving forward. Because I know we wanted to keep this on the agenda as a discussion item, and don't want to allow them a whole hour, but if they can give us an update and a synopsis in 10 or 15 minutes, that'd certainly be worthwhile.
Okay.
I think.
I can visit with them when they're here tomorrow. Yeah.
No, and if Thursday. It doesn't work, sometime in the next couple meetings, if they want to come down, I think that'd be good just in this format, just to bring everybody up to speed.
Okay. Yeah, the Pam has been in the public service for a long time through that, and then John Lemon, the other gentleman that was there, worked for Motorola for multiple years. So both of them I've been worked with for several years, so both good people.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I need a motion to accept, reject, or award a bid. Gage County, is this our resolution 13? What's this? That's what we're calling it? Okay. Okay. So the project would be Gage County 2013. It's a 2-mile asphalt or concrete road segment, and this was a recommendation after having both bids open. Myron touched on them briefly. Sent those to Minnelli Wagner Highway Department and Road and Bridge to come for a recommendation. So I'll look to the Road and Bridge Chairman for a recommendation, and then we can have discussion.
I would recommend we would accept the bid from Warner Construction on the concrete for $910,477.07.
That's your motion?
That's my motion. Make a motion, please.
Motion by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Yep.
You come on. Let's let the chairman speak first and then come on up. Yep, you bet.
We talked to various people. The consensus was, at least for me personally, the people that have spoken to me about it, which has been quite a few, out of a dozen people, private people have talked to me, I had one person said they would rather see asphalt over concrete. The other 11-12 people said it would be a no-brainer, go with the concrete. We had people from that gave us information that the NDOR, State of Nebraska, has stated that, you know, a life of a concrete road is 30 years, life of an asphalt road is 15, and then they're going to need some kind of major renovation. I think Jeff is here from Nelly Wagner, and that was a recommendation that Mark and him give us very strongly to go with the concrete road. So that's why I stated that here today.
Let's hear from our consultant engineer first. You want to maybe just give us a little more information, and this gentleman here would like to speak.
Jeff Wagner, Minnelli Wagner and Associates, and we agree with your recommendation. We would recommend going with the concrete pavement as well. There's just a lot less maintenance costs over the life of the pavement. Really, all you have with concrete is just go out there and seal the joints every year or two with the asphalt. You have to worry about armor coats and fog seals, and you're going to be overlaying the pavement down the road, and just life cycle cost is just a no-brainer. It's just the concrete's the way to go.
Anything peculiar or goofy, if you will, about having a concrete 2-mile butt up to a road that's some of their feedback I've had is, well, you've got the rest of it's asphalt. What's this 2 miles of concrete? Is there anything bizarre, weird, or out of the ordinary for them?
With the asphalt that you have that butts up to where the concrete will be, we run into that all the time. So when you get ready to overlay that asphalt, we'll just do an inlay at the end. There won't be any significant bumps. It's real easy to make a smooth transition into it. There's really no downside to it. I mean, that's just not going to be an issue.
Okay. More questions for Jeff. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Jeff, I hate to put you on the spot here, but I'm going to anyway. I think we all understand, to us, it's a no-brainer to go this way. But when it comes to the costs, differences, do you have anything that you can lay out there today for the public's ability to know kind of what them extra costs might be and that stuff?
I don't have it today. I mean, it wouldn't take much to put together a life cycle chart that kind of would lay out, you know, here's where we think you'd have to do an armor coat and then do an overlay and then take it out or project over 30 years. I mean, we could put that together if you want us to do that, that's wouldn't
I guess
be too big of a deal.
For me, just for the public's knowledge, I think it'd be good to see something like that. I agree completely that it's, you know, concrete's the way for us to go. But I think just for the public's knowledge, I think that'd be good.
Yeah, we can put that together. Probably get it for you. I don't know. We can try to get something into you next week.
Okay.
And when we look at the cost of the overlays we're doing in the rest of the county, you know, that average per mile is over $100,000. Some of it's close to $200,000 a mile for the overlay project. We'd be doing that in 15 years. You add that onto this, it does make the concrete cheaper over the
right
and over the 30 over years without the armor coating and the extra maintenance that would be required down the road.
And if you take that out over the 30 years, you're looking at least two overlays in the 30-year period.
Sure.
So, but we can give you some hard numbers. I mean, that wouldn't take too much to put that together.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I'm Dwayne Party. Want that all again? 9876 East Dogwood Road. How wide are the driving lanes? Are they going to be?
I don't know what the specs are on that.
11 foot lanes, 22 foot wide pavement is going to be the total width of the pavement. And then there'll be, I believe.
Now, the last thing I want to do is mess this up because I think this is great. But 11 feet is narrow for my truck. You drive on the blacktop between Philly and Adams. If any of you ever drove a truck, Terry, you have. Your knuckles get white when you meet another truck?
I put it to you this way. It makes my hands sweat.
I've dug along the old blacktop in four places. It was 12-foot wide driving lanes. You can still find places where the old blacktop is still there. Now, it's been overlaid twice at narrower. But, I mean, like I say, if you're going to put shoulders on it, which I imagine it will, 4 foot wide shoulders.
4 foot, yes.
Is that driving lane?
No, it'd be 11 foot pavement and then a 4 foot.
Which I can drive on that. Mm-hmm. If Gus sees me at 12 o'clock at night driving down the shoulder, is he going to stop me?
Yes.
I hope so.
I mean, it's driving, but you call it road, and then we don't call it road. But I don't want to mess this up. But and I know it would cost a lot to add on a foot to either side. But maybe I should have been here way before instead of now when you're getting ready to approve it. But I just think 11 feet is a little narrow. But otherwise, no, I'd say go ahead and do the project. I'm glad it's getting in. And that's about all I have. Any questions? Thank you for your time then.
Gus, pick everybody up that drives on the shoulders. That's probably good policy. Probably good policy.
It's not the one on the right. It's the one on the left.
Yeah, don't drive on the right.
Okay.
Any more comments, discussion, questions regarding the motion to accept the concrete bid over the asphalt bid? We have a motion and a second. Seeing no further discussion, vote 7-0. All right. Next, discussion on setting salaries of elected officials for a 4-year term. Myron, you want to start?
We've sent out a draft proposal here. I think Don has a copy to everybody. Committee did meet Friday with, I believe we had 6 elected officials there. Had about a 45-minute meeting. Had a real good discussion. They got to express a lot of their thoughts, I guess, and we also got to explain to them how we are trying to arrive at a final proposal or whatever. I guess one of their main things, I remember Lori brought it up, was that why did we use the counties we're using for comparisons instead of the NACO one, and we got to visit about that. I think we're only using maybe 3 or 4 of the same counties. These are the counties that we used in the CIR ruling with the FOP. And that, generally speaking, some comments from the committee was that we feel that
NACO maybe is a little strong with their recommendations. Ours are turn out to be just a little bit less. That was one of our comments. A couple other things to bring up. I know when Lenhart was here, he asked about how does this affect all the other benefits. The salary people do not get paid vacation. An hourly person does. They don't get paid for sick time or holidays, either one. So this salary, I did have that clarified by Don to make sure I was right. The salary, what you see here, is what they're paid. So they don't get any extra, like the FOP, they get paid for holidays and so on, all of it. We also, I guess, explained to them a little bit, and in no particular order, or reasons why, but we got to visit with them about how it affects the budget, the whole budget. And you know, we're trying to look at a whole process here. We could pick out one or two individual things and come up with why we made that recommendation. I think we had a good discussion about that. I last night just drew some quick numbers that roughly we're spending $4 million on salaries here in the county per year. That's a round number, and Don could get us some exact numbers. We're also spending another $285,000 on retirement. That's in our budget, and another $305,000 on Social Security. So, you know, we're spending a little over $4.6 million on salaries. Currently, the FOP is getting a 3%. We gave the highway a 3%. The pay rate, the pay scale here in the courthouse, that's also a little bit over 3%. We came up here with a proposal for the first year, 3.65, then a 2%, then a 3%, then a 2%. Averages out to 2.667 because Matt and I did that figuring earlier. This also has a net effect on the budget. Every year going forward, it's going to raise us a little over $140,000 a year in salaries. So just want people to realize that we're not having this discussion and picking out one thing, well, we're going to raise it for this or we're not going to raise it for that. Matt's mentioned, I know other people had too, we had a lot of comments from the public. Appreciate that. They've been very good. Some of them that I've had are some of the people that own ag land. Their taxes went up a lot this year. One guy, his went up 20%. It affects them. It affects every wage earner here or every taxpayer in Gage County. We also, when we're at the NACO convention, I know Matt made the comment, how many of you guys visited with any of the other county officials about what pay raises they were giving? It's interesting, and it's I also enjoyed it to visit with them. We're not the only ones having this discussion. We're not the only ones trying to set salaries. We're all doing that. Everyone mentioned they're trying to do what's fair, what's right, come up with equitable pay for those officials. Generally speaking, though, a lot of those were, the ones I talked to at least, they were higher than what the raises were giving. That don't make ours right or wrong or whatever. John talked to some people from Hall County, and I know we brought up before the discussions they've had and where they're trying to get and where they ended up getting. We made the comment with elected officials, if we ever get behind, you have a lot harder time catching up. That is a real concern, I guess, of the committee it was. We don't want to get behind. We try not to get behind. And that this proposal, hopefully going forward, will keep us somewhat in line. If we also had the one other discussion with the elected officials, the last 4 years, it probably turned out pretty close, the 2% to the cost of living. What it probably ended up kind of in the area. We had the discussion of the next 4 years. 4 years from now, where will we be at? Nobody knows. And we're trying to make our best judgment based on that. The draft proposal you have here, the first one there includes, like I said, a 3.65, gives their salary amount. The previous proposal, the sheriff and the attorney and the deputies were at a 2%. We've increased them all to a 3% the first year. Everybody the first year will get a 3.65% in this proposal, except the supervisors and the surveyor. We left the county supervisors and the county surveyor at 2% all 4 years. The one other change that we made to this was that the election commissioner, we are proposing a $6,000 payment for that. Don gave us some proposals from these other counties. I believe five of them had something in there for election commissioner. Two of them had full-time positions, one at $48,000 and one at $37,000. One other county had a $6,000, $5,000, and a $3,000, I believe, amount of money in there. So from the committee, we came forward with a $6,000 first-year wage for the election commissioner.
Got it.
I talked to Myron briefly, looking at the process, and I think it's having a consistent methodology that helps be able to explain it and make sense to people. And that's why I believe using the same comparable counties that we use for the FOP, the elected or the appointed officials, the employees, I think that's a methodology that we can go back and say we're using comparables consistent in Gage County. If the discussion, as I look at the percentage increases, which have been changed, if the discussion is based on this, that, well, we think that we need to end up at a different place, and I, with all due respect, to go 3, 6, 5, 2, 3, and 2 becomes somewhat arbitrary in, well, we're going up, we're going down, we're going up, going down. So, you know, if the desire is to end up at this number on the right-hand side for the other elected officials, as Myron said, you take the total percentage increase and divide that by 4, 2.66% a year gets you there. And you're at least saying each year we think we should move by 2.66% to get us to this number here. And I had Don quickly run some numbers. That comes out, if my math is correct, and if Don's is correct too, to the 26 pay periods for all the increase, $684 per pay period for all the elected officials. Not Terry's going to get 684, but the total amount of increase over that period of time would be about $71,000. Divide that by 4 gives us about an 17,785 increase per year, and divide that by 26 pay periods, $684. Then you can divide that, you know, whatever percentage. So $684 per pay period is the increase based on this amount. And that's about a 10.65% increase. So I guess if the desire is to get to that amount, I guess I would just say as a point of discussion, maybe consider just say we're going to do increase the wages 2.66% for those that are moving. I agree the surveyors and the surveyor and the supervisors 2% I think is fine. That would just be my suggestion. Just bump. But to go 3, 6, 5 one year and 2 the next and 3 and then 2 seems somewhat arbitrary because it's still going to be 10.65 over the period of 4 years. Just do 2.66, and if that's where the committee feels we need to be comparable, that's just a suggestion. But I like our methodology. I appreciate the work NACO put together. You look at that, but in order to look at the appointed officials and the employees that we hire, I think it's appropriate that we use the same comparabilities for us as we do them.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
First of all, I think the elected officials appreciate the fact you guys took time as a committee to listen to the elected officials, and I think it was a very good exchange. You know, I think Danny came up with a real good idea as far as, and I think that's why you see this third year. And quite frankly, I think you see the bump in the first year based upon we're behind. And we're trying to catch up. And again, we're not submitting, and I don't think any of the elected officials submitted. The NACO thing is a nice place to start. And, I mean, it's across the state. It takes a look at it. The committee that did that was supervisors, some elected officials. And again, I don't think we came in with the idea you should adopt that. I mean, it would all been wonderful. But we understand what you're going through, too, as far as holding the line and being responsible to the taxpayers. And we certainly try and echo that in the operation of our offices. And I would just think, submit that I think this proposal you came up with, I think, is an excellent compromise. It takes into account there's not too many people out there that do four-year contracts for the very reason, like Denny says, we don't know what's going to happen in the third year. And again, rather than going with COLA or something like that to try and soften that uncertainty, again, I think you take this into account, you're still going to be below what NACO's suggesting, so you're still being fiscally conservative and responsible to your county. So, again, we appreciate the opportunity to work with you.
Yes, I'd just like to make two comments. The first one being, Byron, you know, I don't know if everybody knows the work he does and the job he does at his job. So he's done an excellent job. Everybody should commend him for that. And the second thing is, I just want to say that probably this is the one that I would support right here, this very first one that we've talked about. So, but either way you do it, doesn't make any difference to me.
More discussion? Yes, sir.
I guess I would first thing echo the same thing that Terry just said. Myron does take a hold of things, and he does put a lot of time into them, and I appreciate the work that he's done on this. Unfortunately, I'm going to be the stick in the mud, though, here. And as far as the elected officials go, I don't have a whole lot of issue with that. But I do have some concerns that over time, because I think you're going to see in the coming years, especially if $4 corn continues to be the norm, that you're going to see land values do this number as fast as they went this way for a short period of time. Maybe not as fast this way, but you are going to see some land values dropping here. And I guess that concerns me quite a bit, that you're going to take one of our largest expenses and we're going to inflate it every year by this amount of money. And I guess that really concerns me. But I guess, like I said, as far as the elected officials go, outside of the Gage County supervisors, I would support this. As far as the Gage County supervisors go, I will not support any raise for the supervisors, and that's just where I stand.
Anybody else?
I guess I would like to echo what Gary said. As far as the supervisors' pay, I think that we are being amply compensated for what we do. I appreciate what we get, and I don't feel that it's necessary to increase our wages. I think that as far as the other elected officials, the increase is justified, but it is kind of by trying to bring us up to the median, we are increasing the median, and it's kind of a never-ending upward spiral there's no catching up, because we keep increasing the median pay, and so the next county has to increase theirs, and then we have to increase ours, and it's a never-ending spiral, and I think that it could be a death spiral by trying to compete with all of our neighbors. And I think we need to say this is a good wage here. The people that have run for this office and have accepted the responsibilities have agreed that it's good compensation for the work they're doing. And we need to put an end or at least maintain some control of the increasing spiral.
Well, I will just end discussion and just say, well, Finance Committee, put your final signature and come in 2 weeks with the final, after hearing all the comments here, put your final stamp on it, bring forth the next approval or the next proposal, and we'll January 8th will be our next meeting. It's due by January 15th, so we'll have time there to get it done, and we'll take action in 2 weeks.
I do want to make one other comment, Matt. I guess the reason that I say that about our salary is if you look back at what has gone on up at the State House, there's been, I think, two attempts to raise the wages for the state senators who are currently being paid, I think, $12,000, right in that ballpark. And the people of the state have turned that down twice. And I think if we put this to a vote of the people, I have a feeling that in my feeling is that they would say no. And I guess I'm here to represent the people of the 5th District, and I think if they would say no, then I should say no also. That's where I'm coming from.
I won't even get started.
Too close to Christmas or what? Too close to Christmas?
I fully think Michael Myron and the Finance Committee have done an excellent job. They've used common sense. They've used good business judgment. And what they're recommending is very, very good.
But I thank for the comments, too. We'll visit about that at committee meeting next time and stuff. Because, I mean, like I said, we didn't try to take one thing and dwell on one thing, or we could look at one thing and we're going to make our decision based on this. I feel we tried to look at the whole big picture, and back to some of the comments here too about the budget. I've had several discussions with Don going forward about where your budget's going to be at in the years ahead, because if we raise salaries, say for example $140,000, and you don't raise your budget because you want to hold taxes in line, that affects other county departments like the road and bridge or you know something else or the sheriff's department, new vehicles and all that. I mean, that it has an effect on everything. It's just we think, oh yeah, we can just do this is 4 years, fine, let's go on. But it's not. In the future it has an effect on everything, and we're trying to take those thoughts into account, but yet still the fact of the matter is we're directed to set the salaries. So thank you for the discussion though.
We are locked into a four-year cycle as far as setting the salaries, right?
Except for the supervisors, because they're elected every 2 years. We could set our salary again in 2 years, but all the elected officials were locked into four years.
Okay.
Yeah, because their salaries get set every time there's an election. Right. So, I didn't realize that. Don pointed that out, that the supervisors actually, we could go back and set our salaries again in 2 years because we have another election.
And I would also comment, I certainly agree with Myron, and I talked to four to half a dozen counties as far as what they were given for their salaries. And none of them were as a small percentage as what we're given for the 4 years. And some of those were on both sides of us.
Kind of interesting, though. I did talk to one individual up there. They gave an 11% increase last time the first year, and then 0, 0, and 0. And he says, we're not ever doing that again. I says, well, why not? What was wrong with that? He says, because all I've heard about from the elected officials is the last 3 years they didn't get a raise, forgetting the fact that they got the 11% up front. But he said they the last year is the one they remember and stuff. So I mean, you hear different concepts and different types of things counties or commission or supervisors or whatever trying to do to make it fair for the employees. But yet, then sometimes you run into something and you go, whoops, shouldn't have done that.
I haven't Dawn double-check her math here. I spoke so highly of her.
Give me clear instructions.
I didn't give clear. I didn't communicate well. So let me get those.
And hopefully, what comes out of committee again, we'll try and forward you guys before our board meeting. We'll have Dawn forward you so you can look at it and see what so comes out.
But you're dealing with just our salaries.
All right. Well, we're going to. I may move to decrease the clerk's wage after this. just to clarify those numbers, because the initial ones I gave per year were wrong. At the end of 4 years, going from the 2014 wage, which will start in January, ending up at the proposed 2018, the total increase for all the elected officials altogether would be $84,027.86. So then if you divide that by 4 years, that'll be an increase of about $21,000 per year. And then divide that by 26 pay periods. That'll be a total cost to the county of $807 per month. And then divide that by all the
for pay periods. So
it's not like you're going to get 800, you're going to get 800, but collectively it'll increase the payroll for all elected officials.
Elected
by
officials and deputies.
And deputies. Elected officials and deputies by $807, and if you take 7, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, and then just very arbitrarily divide that by 22, that's roughly $36.72 per employee per pay period. So, I mean, it puts in perspective, you know, the percentage increase and how, like you'd said, it is really small compared to some of the other counties, and some of them are talking 14 to 18. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify those numbers because that was wrong.
and my numbers were right.
Wrong.
I wanted to, so that's really quick and rough, but just a person, and I'll give that to Myron if he wants to clean it up.
I wrote down.
Okay. Any more discussion regarding wages? Again, in 2 weeks, we'll take action on the recommendation that comes from Finance Committee. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? We have a closed session to discuss litigation. Close. Yes, sir.
Can I give you an update on the Wymore project? I just talked with Mark.
Can you just come to the mic right there just so we can, yeah, that's close enough.
I just talked with Mark a little bit ago, and Wymore will be open today. They're taking the barricades down. There will be barricades remaining at the corners of the bridge, just since I don't think the guardrail's completed yet. And there is a change order that should be going in today to get the winter work spec approved by the state. So everything should be good to go after today.
Good.
Okay.
And maybe just very briefly touch on the winter work spec allows for...
Depending on what the construction operation would be, basically they don't get charged any days over the winter. They can work on certain items if the conditions are okay, and then the days would start again April 1st. I can't remember what the exact day is. And then they start charging days again. So the project probably completely done 1st of May, I would guess, something like that, with shouldering and seeding and everything.
To clarify that, tell me if I'm right or wrong, that means if they work during this winter time frame on stuff they can do, it doesn't count as days against their project
for a penalty.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't get charged days.
Right.
Myron, you got change order?
Change order, yeah. Got that wrote down. Well, no, and that was quite a concern in our committee meeting because there's quite a few people, including, I guess, one or two supervisors have been driving over that road and stuff or bridge.
Not me. I haven't been across it yet.
So, no, thank you for getting that open. I know the people in that area, some of them visited with us down there at the county shop. There, one guy lives right there, and they've been driving through his property, driving over the bridge and then driving through his property to get around that so that we can help that, so that if we get a wet spring or something, they're not doing that. That's great. So,
yeah, that's been a struggle getting Department of Roads to agree to the winter work spec, but it's just coming up on a lot of projects right now. I think they finally realize that we need to allow it. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just not going to get the quality project at the end.
Yep. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Yeah, Merry Christmas is right for the people down there.
Santa will have a place to land tonight.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
And guests will be patrolling that tomorrow.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Watch him. You going to Wymore?
Don't drive on the shoulder.
Yeah. Wait till the barricades are up, or you'll be in the drink. Okay. If nothing else, I need a motion to go to a closed session. We're going to discuss litigation necessary for the protection of public interest and possibly protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I need a motion to go to closed session.
Move.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle.
Vote.
7-0.
All right.
Matt, I got to make it.
Need a motion to come out of closed session at 11 o'clock?
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Vote. 7-0. All right. Anything else? Come back in 2 weeks and tackle a few more things. If there's nothing else, we will adjourn. Everybody have a Merry Christmas.
And you have a happy birthday.
2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
And happy New Year.
We'll be.
Hope everybody's
52 is a real good year.
52, you bet. Yeah, 52. All right, we'll stand adjourned. 11 o'clock.